Luke chapter 8, and beginning at verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for that what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a Savior, as the special was sung about, that performs miracles. And of the greatest miracles than when he saved us from our sin, when we trusted him as our Savior. God, we pray that you would do miracles in our midst today. There's people in this room that need to have the hand of God touch their lives. There's people that need to be saved in this room this morning. They need to hear from heaven. God, help us today. Now to accomplish this, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Empower him, use him to help us today. And Father, that one or two or three in this room that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today they'd settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm certainly glad we're on the West Coast today and not the East Coast. Aren't you? Now, if your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it, you will be magically transformed to the East Coast. So make sure it's off, please. Would you, or turned off, or turned to vibrate, or whatever the case may be, and spare us today. We would appreciate that very much. There's a nameless woman here in Luke chapter 8. I know when we get to heaven, we'll know who this lady is, but in the scripture, the Bible doesn't say. It just says in Luke chapter 8, in verse number 43, and a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the border of his garment. The Bible says, and immediately, what she could not find in anyone else in 12 years of trying. Spent all her money, went to every doctor she could find. No one seemed to be able to help this lady. The Bible tells, you know, in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, this account is repeated in those three Gospels. And each one, it will give you a little different view of what happened that day. This lady spent everything she could, did everything she could. And 12 years she lived with this issue of blood in her life. The Bible tells us another gospel, it says, and she thought to herself, if I could just get to Jesus. And the Bible says, just touch the garment, just the hem of the garment in one gospel. Just the fringe. As he passed by, she said, I believe I would find what I've been looking for. I believe I would finally get the help that I really need. The Bible says she comes to this place now. This account of her there and reaching through the crowd and reaching out and just touching the hem of his garment as he walked by, it's sandwiched between a throng of people who gather around Jesus. He had become so popular that everywhere he went, a multitude of people were around him all the time. And it even says here that when she touched him, Jesus stopped in the crowd and turned around and said, "Who touched me?" "Somebody touched me." One of the disciples, Peter, said, "Lord, the people throng you." Doesn't just mean they were standing there looking at him. They touched him also as he went by. So they've got curiosity seekers, and they've got people who are there mobbing him, as it were, but somebody touched him in a different way than anyone did in that crowd that day. And Jesus said, no, something happened to me. It's a very interesting statement there he made in verse 46. Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. He sent some of the power of God had left him to help somebody. And Jesus turned around and said, no. Not the curiosity of people. Someone touched me for help here. When the woman knew that she had been healed, she couldn't keep it to herself anymore. And she stepped up to the Lord and told him, I've had this issue of blood for 12 years and no one's been able to help me, but you did today. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you need to touch the hem of his garment this morning? Is there something in your life you need help with today? This account of this lady in the Bible, please understand, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It means there's always something to profit and benefit and help us in our lives from everything that's written in scripture. I've often wondered about that when I read the genealogies in the Chronicles. Jobab, Aget, Nebab, Aget, Rebab, and all those crazy names that people had in those days. Not a Larry or George in a bunch. I mean, not one name we would know, to be frank and honest with you. And I always read that and I think to myself, now what is profitable about all this list of names of people? By the way, there is profit in that. Teaches us the genealogy of mankind, teaches us the genealogy of Christ, teaches us that you matter to God, and I guess enough because he put your name in the Bible and your name was Kenaz. But what do we get from this lady here? Listen now, this lady got the touch from God that she needed. She touched God and God touched her. Now in her case, it was a physical situation. I wish I could tell you this morning that God always wants to heal. Physically, you know, we turn into the healing ministry where we just go around and the big thing is getting people physically healed. Well, God does the healing of today. I don't doubt that. Don't deny that anyone who says that God is not in the healing work and that it's locked away in a certain dispensation is they're a fool. No, God does the healing. And God always does the healing. Even if good physicians help us, it's still God who heals. I like what an old preacher said years ago, doctors cut and give pills, God heals. Now, I appreciate people in the medical profession. I think there are many of them are very dedicated, loyal, faithful people to what they do. But God still does healing. But know this, this lady's problem was bigger than an issue of blood of 12 years. She was at the end of her rope in life. Her money was gone, her hope was gone, everything was gone. And she had heard of and knew of Jesus, and she thought to herself, if I could but touch his garment, if I could just get close enough to the Lord to reach out and touch just the hem, just the fringe of his garment while he passed by, she said, I believe God would do for me what nobody else could do. Are you there this morning? You need God's help today. It may not be physical things. It may be something in your heart and in your life. Maybe it's something in your home or in your family. Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's just something in your finances or somewhere in your life. Do you need to touch the Lord this morning? This lady found the help of God, ladies and gentlemen. And I was thinking about that. I've been these last several weeks. I've been having a hard time getting good sleep. Just thinking about the people of God and the battles that people are facing in their lives today. The valleys a lot of people are walking through and the battles that they're facing and the struggles they're having in their lives. And I was thinking about it and I thought, I've been praying, God, just give me messages that will help people and encourage their heart in some things. Now, we do it the biblical way. Most churches will just pat you on the back, tell you everything will be all right and send you out the door. That's not really do you any good. Please listen to me. Quit chasing the emotional-minded churches. Would you please? Where all they want to do is tickle your ear, make you feel good about something, give you a little rock show, send you out the door and pat you on the popo and send you off to your life and what you're doing. Quit doing that. You're wasting your time just trying to get an emotional feeling out of something. How about this? How about if we go to God and say, Dear God, would you do something in my life to help me today? And trust the Lord to really actually work something in your life because He will. And He will. But we need to get to Jesus and have enough faith to touch the hem of his garment. How did this lady get the help she needed? First of all, I want you to notice in verse 43. Look in your Bibles, please. She stopped wasting time. Verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. This lady finally realizes, I've wasted enough time on options, possibilities, conditions, and everything else. Now, I'm going to say this. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm not one of those who's a conspiratorial kind of a person, where there's a conspiracy behind everything. And there's this conspiracy in the medical profession to keep people sick so they can make money off of them. I don't doubt that there's some knuckleheads in the medical profession, but I don't believe for a minute every doctor or every nurse or every person in the medical field has a hope that people stay sick so they have a job. I got news for you. That's what you call job security today. People are just going to have physical problems, so I think you need to get off of that junk. But most importantly, I want you to listen to me very carefully. It's not that it says that it means, boy, quit wasting your money on doctors and just go to God. It means quit wasting your time looking for others and what they can do for you and leave as your last option when everything is gone and it's all burned up and life is over with and you spent all you can. Quit wasting all your time trying out everything else and then go to the Lord and have him expect him to help you. Because, by the way, you'll notice she did that and she still got the help she needed. But she wasted 12 years of her life. She spent 12 years of her life and everything she had on that. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you spending all your time on now? This help that you need. What are you spending all your time on? It's fascinating how we have time for everything today. Time for everything on this planet, time for this, time for that. I mean, good night, folks. We got football season starting now. Baseball season is still going. In a couple of months, they'll start basketball, for goodness sakes. And then you'll have hockey. And you'll have every sport on the planet. We've got time for that. We'll go get the NFL channel and the AFL channel and the hockey channel and the baseball channel and every channel on the planet. You only watch one at a time unless you got 92 television sets. And we'll sit there. We'll spend all the time we have on that. We'll spend time on, we'll say, well, you know what I really need? I just need to get away for a while and sit around and relax and take it easy. And that's what it really need to do. Well, relaxation is good. Rest is a good thing. But how much longer are you going to waste your time and your life on the Dr. Phils and the Oprahs and the people of this life who tell you they have the answer for your life when they don't even have the answer for their own life? How much time are we going to waste on this stuff? Jesus is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. She realizes this now, but she spent 12 years to find that out. How much longer are we going to waste? Don't waste any more time. Well, I don't want to go to the Lord just because I'm in trouble. Why not? What's wrong with that? Don't you understand that one of the great things about the Lord Jesus Christ is He cares for you and about you in every circumstance and situation you are in your life? He cares. Well, I don't want to just feel like I'm using Him for a crutch. He's a good crutch. I'd rather lean on Him than somebody else. I'd rather depend on the Lord. I've had people say, you know, all you people, you Christians, you just use God for a crutch. I prefer to figure it out on my own. Yeah, you're a knucklehead too if you think that. The truth is, I prefer to depend on the Lord. I'd rather lean on Him. I'd rather have Him be my shepherd. I'd rather depend on Him. I'd rather be like sheep and let Him be the shepherd and follow Him and let me lead. Stop wasting time. You need hand from God and help from God today. This lady did. And when she found it because she stopped wasting time. It is time to put your life, your house in order. How much longer do we want to wait? How much more time do we want to spend? How much more will it be before we decide, you know what, I need to get to Jesus. And that's what you need this morning, friend. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and working in your life. You need that. And He's there for you. He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. So if it looks like He moved, He isn't the one who moved. You did. And the truth is, see, if we get a grasp on this concept in our lives, that truthfully, we waste too much time before we get to where we really should be anyhow. And in this case, get to whom we should be. Get to the Lord. Turn to Jesus now. Say, well, I've already tried that once or twice. Excuse me. This lady didn't come to Jesus and try the Lord. She said, if I may but touch His garment. This wasn't an experiment. This was her confidence. This was her hope. But she found that out because she wasted all this time on other things. You know how she got the help that she needed? She humbled herself. Look at verse number 44 now. Follow it carefully. I felt ushers in the back here. We got folks coming in and going out. Hold people outside. Don't let them walk in and out. Now stop that. Ladies, don't look at me this morning. You understand when you get up and walk out of a service, you distract people. And medically, if you need to do that, then do that. But other than that, don't do that. Just sit still now and listen carefully. Look at Luke chapter. You say, you think you're important. No, I don't. But what I preach is important, and that's the Word of God. Look at verse 4. People sit in front of television for 3 hours and not even bat an eye. You can sit for a 20-minute sermon. I don't have one of those, but if I ever do, you can sit through that. Look at verse 44. So she, in verse 43, she spends all her, she can't get there. Then in verse 44, she came behind him. See that statement? And touched the border of his garment. There's an expression here that you need to understand. The border of the garment. That's what a servant would do who would walk behind the master. Servants never walk beside their master. They never walked in front of them. They always walk behind them. And if they needed to get the master's attention, they would simply reach out and tug on the garment, and the master knew the servant. That's their slave. That's a place, a position of humility. When she gets to this place, she works her way through this crowd, and she's not thinking, boy, if I could just shake his hand. She's not thinking, if I could just talk to him. She's thinking this, you know what? I'm willing to accept whatever I need to do. And to touch the hem of the garment, she had to get down on the ground and put her hem through that crowd and just hope to grab him, hem of the garment, when he walked by. So, well, Pastor Johnson, that's demeaning. Well, maybe we need a little demeaning. We live in a proud and cocky society today that can't humble itself, can't bow their knee, can't put their head down, can't acknowledge that they need. See, this lady, when she does this, she's saying, I got one shot here, one hope. And her humility helps. God directs a hand through that crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment. Humility is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. She humbled herself. She came behind him. It's not that the Lord can't help us, ladies and gentlemen. It's often that we're too proud to admit it. We'll buy everybody's book about every financial matter on this planet and not be willing to humble ourselves and say, you know, God, I made some bad choices and I just need to get some things worked out. Please help me with this. Look at it. We make messes as Americans today. Society is that way across the world. We make messes with our choices and our decisions, and then we don't want to acknowledge the wrong that we've done to get this thing right. It takes humility to bow your knee and say, okay, God, I was wrong, and I shouldn't have done that. I need your help now. By the way, it takes a step of humility to come to Christ and be saved. See, we understand that Jesus died on the cross. We understand that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. We understand that Jesus' death on the cross is God's payment for our salvation. We understand that when he rose from the grave, he gave us eternal life. But believing that Jesus died for you will not save you. It's trusting that Christ died for you that you need salvation is what saves you. Acknowledging I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I remember talking to somebody one time about this and explaining to them salvation. And I said, first thing you have to believe and understand to be saved is that you're a sinner. And they were offended by that. You're saying I'm a sinner? They looked at me aggravated. They said, you're saying I'm a sinner? And it was a sweet little grandma. Everybody's little Aunt B. I mean, just a sweet little grandma. They said, well, come on now. What could this lady have done? Man, she was 80 years old. She did a bunch of stuff, I guarantee you. I got saved when I was 9, and it wasn't hard for me to admit I was a sinner. And I was 9. She said, well, I'm not a sinner. I said, well, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, you are. Because the Bible says all have sinned. And guess that all part means you. Well, that's offending. That's offensive to me. I said, I'm sorry I offended you. But do you realize that you're a sinner? She said, don't you understand, young man? I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done anything that's wrong. Did you know I couldn't lead that lady to Christ? She knew Jesus died on the cross. She understood he rose from the grave. She knew all the doctrinal facts about salvation that are necessary. But the lady left as lost as I found her because she couldn't humble herself enough to admit she was a sinner who needed a Savior. And so do you today, my friend. You are a sinner. You need a Savior. You must trust Christ to save you. See, the humility that brings salvation is enough. It provides enough in our minds to realize we don't have any hope but Christ. And we turn to him and he gives us salvation. But wait, don't leave out that humility after you get saved. You keep that there now. Guess what we are? We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Huh? And we still need God's help in our life. No, I'm sorry, but we don't have it all figured out. And no, I'm sorry, we don't know everything. And no, I'm sorry, listen now. No, I'm sorry, I'm not smart enough to know this or to know that. I try to read things. I'm a reader. I love to read. And I spend a lot of time reading about things and stuff. And I try to stay up with things in this life and this world and so that I can help people when I come across them in my own life. And I like to read. I just enjoy that. But the truth is, the longer I live, the more I know this. I have the less answers. Much less answers than I thought I did when I was 21. When I was 21, you couldn't tell me anything. I had it all figured out. And I couldn't understand why no one would ask me. Well, I got the answer for that. I know what to do. Why don't they ask me? Now I'm 57 years old. In a couple weeks I'll be 58 years old. And I've learned a few more things since I was 21 years old. But the thing I've learned the most is I don't know what in the world I'm doing. I have some answers. I know what to do in so many areas of life, but the truth is I still need God's help. Hey, look at me. You got to get that humility thing. You got to get down there and reach out for the border of His garment. No, I want the Lord to